Okay, it's a bit much. Settle down. Thanks, team. You guys can all fill up the seats. I'd love to have Jessica just stay there the whole time and be like TD Jakes this morning. That'd be kind of cool. I said be like TD Jakes. Hey, how good was the creative team this morning? We have a real country feel about us at the moment. So I feel like I should be preaching like this morning. I will not. Let me pray. Father God, we love you so much. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We focus our attention on you, God. I say again, we focus our attention on you, God. We listen. We tune our ears in for heavenly influence this morning. We listen not for things that are of the world, but things that are of the Spirit this morning. We ask you to fall upon us with your Holy Spirit. Be with each and every single one of us, not divided so that your Holy Spirit is a division amongst us, but equally weighted upon every single person, I pray this morning. I pray the full power of heaven be upon us in this place. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hey, I love you guys so much. I was up at 4 o'clock this morning praying. And this doesn't, I don't say this to make myself out to be a martyr or anything like that, but I just wanted to let you know that this morning I woke up at about 4 o'clock. I could blame the plover that was out in the paddock squawking at the rain and all of those things, but it was really the Holy Spirit just stirring me up. And it was this, and this wasn't in my sermon notes, and Pastor Dave's probably going to be going, oh no, Grant, don't go off script. But I need to say this before I start. What year is it? So I've heard a few people say 23, 2023, things like that. In the old days, well before I was alive, well before Paddy was alive, that it used to be, this is the year of our Lord, 1820, right? And then it got shortened and it just became the 1900s. And then by the time I came along, it was the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the noughties. And we're in the 20s again. But we don't call it the 20s, it's just shortened to 2023. But the Lord said this, and I want you to hear this before I preach this message this morning. Next year is the year of our Lord, 2024. Next year, now I need you to listen, because I just think that just went boom over the top of someone's head. Next year is the year of our Lord, 2024. So you better be ready. And this message that I'm preaching this morning, and I am preaching, I'm not teaching, I'm preaching, because I'm not a teacher, I'm a preacher. This morning I'm going to preach a message that I want to go into your hearts to prepare you for the year of our Lord, 2024, because you better be ready. Because does anyone want to be ready? Because I feel like some of you maybe need to wake up a little bit this morning in the Spirit, because it's a bit dull and it's a bit dreary, but don't let what's out there get you down. Let what's in here lift you up. Because this morning, yes, it is a grey day, but is the day the Lord still made and it's still good. Amen? So, I'm not a pastor, I'm a preacher, right? So that means that I'm just the same as you, but for some reason God put the gift of public speaking in my life and he gave me the gift of being able to preach out of the Bible, right? So I need you all to come with me. So if I ask rhetorical questions, just make noises. Is that okay? Yeah, that's good. You're all good at it. It's really, really good. So this morning's message is called Imperfect Pathways. Imperfect pathways. If you're a note taker, imperfect pathways. If you're not a note taker, it's still called imperfect pathways. I'm not going to change it just for the non-note takers. So why does God, this is a rhetorical question, you don't have to answer this one. Why does God, who is perfect in every single way, choose us as imperfect humans, as instruments to get to know him and to lead other people to him? Why does God choose you? Why does God choose us? We are walking, talking, freckled skin bags full of emotions. You've heard me say it before. We are full of fear and worry and anxiety and problems and troubles. You've heard me say it before. Why did God choose us? That is a question I want you to keep with you as I'm preaching this message this morning. Why you? Why now? Why this? Why has God chosen you? Why has God chosen the human race? And even that little baby, chosen, right? Wants to be heard already. We might think that it's to demonstrate his perfection in love and grace. But it goes even deeper than that. I want to take that pillar out so badly because I can see Joey. I feel like Miss Helena in Romper Room, and I can see Jessica. But get this. No matter how messed up things get, no matter how bad life becomes, no matter what you do, no matter how low your bank balance is, no matter how much you do a terrible job or a good job, or I'm looking at Toddy, you know, you just, maybe a tattoo doesn't go the right way or something doesn't happen. Nothing diminishes the power of God. Nothing. Nothing. And if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, the power of God, the very power that created you, living within you, if everyone takes a breath and breathe out, because you can do that, that means you have the power of God living in you. Because every single human being on earth has that potential. Because of your imperfections, that's where God shines through. And you might think, well, hang on a minute, that doesn't make any sense. How is that going to happen? It happens, and I can speak to it. It's kind of like preaching the choir sometimes when you're here. And I wish there was more people who didn't know Jesus here to hear it. And that's up to you, by the way. I actually had a whole paragraph in here about this, and I deleted it, but I'm putting it back in because I can see too many maroon chairs. And what this means is that you need to take this message, and this is for your ears, 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 and your ears. This is for everyone. Take this message today and go out to people who do not know Jesus and share it. Four people said yes. One of them was our senior pastor. Take this message. Go out to people who don't know Jesus. Oh, you weaklings. Come on. Take this message. Yes. Go out to people who don't know Jesus. Yes. And share it. Yes. Who's gonna? Put your hands up. Who's gonna? See? I tell you, I'm preaching today on why we don't. This is what this whole message is about. I'm preaching today on why we don't. And it's actually how we see ourselves, not how God sees us. It's how we see ourselves, because we see ourselves as not enough. Oh, I can't go share the gospel. And I'm going to speak about myself here. I can't go share the gospel because people at work saw me frustrated last week and I swore. I did. I was in the reps room at work. I run a sales team. And I was in the reps room at work and something happened. My best salesperson announced she's going to move to Adelaide. And I said, bleep. Bleepity bleep, bleep, and my door was shut, but they could lip read. I didn't go on that much. But they could see I was frustrated. And then the devil says to me, you can't share the gospel now. They know you're a swearer. They know you get frustrated. They've seen it. But I push through that stuff. I still do it. I say things to my new guy. I've got a new guy who's just come on board. His name's Adam. He's a legend. I love him. And I sat down with Adam over a beer the other week and we were talking about sales and how things need to change in the business. I said, Adam, I just need you to be two things, man. I need you to be salt and light. I need you to be salt and light. I need you to add flavor into people's lives. I need you to shine brightly in the darkness because they don't know what they don't know. And he's like, that's really good. I'm writing that down. Where'd you get that stuff? And I said, oh, it's just in me. It's just in me. He'll hear it one day as a gospel message somewhere, and he'll go, wait a minute. Old Muggins was preaching to me. But you might be feeling those same frustrations. So I was inspired to pen this message through our discipleship program. And there's a line in week two of the discipleship program that says this. It says, you, poke the person next to you and say, you. Poke them hard. I saw you not poking him. You poke him. I'm not talking to you. you might be the only chance someone has to hear the Bible. Yeah. That's for you, Chris. You might be the only chance someone has to hear the Bible. You, Todd, might be the only chance someone has to hear the Bible. So don't wait until you've read the whole thing cover to cover, brother. Don't wait. Just take the little bit you know, the size of a mustard seed, and plant it in someone's heart so it grows into this massive thing in their lives. Take the little bit you know. Take the little bit that God's already planted in you. Take the little tiny seed. Forget being perfect. I've told you, Gaynor said, don't tell this story again. I'm going to, Gaynor. I've told it so many times. When I was back, when I had black hair, I used to oversee the youth in our church when Pastor Dan was around. And it was chaotic. Heaps of kids from the Derwent Valley. It was awesome. And there was this young girl sitting out the front of the church. And she had a friend with her. And she said, oh, you know, remember this? Oh, this was from our discipleship. This was Joey's big takeaway. She turned to her friend and said, oh, yeah, you really should follow Jesus. After all, he died for you. But she put a bleep in there. And this girl gave her heart to the Lord, became baptized, attended church for years and years. And years later, she walked away from the church. She got into a whole heap of bad relationships. And she's had some kids, and her life's a mess. And then I saw her at netball, at Gaynor's netball grand final, where Tash is the number one cheerleader, and Dale and I were sitting there on the bleachers. And I turned around, and I said hello to this mum, and I was actually just talking to her kids, because her kids were being a mess. And she said, hey, are you Grant? And I'm like, yeah, why? Have I upset you? She said, oh, I used to come along to the youth at Energizer Church, which for those of you that don't know is what your church used to be called. I said, I don't remember your name. She told me, because I can't remember right now. She told me her name. And I said, I remember you. Actually, I remember what your friend said to you just before you gave your heart to the Lord and you were baptized. She said, and I quoted it back to her, and she said, yeah, she did say that. I remember it as well. And I said, well, when are you coming back to church? She said, yeah, I really want to. I really want to. But that stuck in her memory. Was it perfect? No. But yes, it kind of was. It was perfect for her in the moment. So don't wait. Start now. Yeah. Start now. Think about people that you could share the gospel with, because I'm going to share this frustration. Pray for me. I am annoyed that there are too many empty chairs here. God bless you for being here. I'm not going to smack you around for being here. You're the people that turned up, right? But we've got to get out there and we have to share the gospel message, because that's what Jesus asked us to do. He said, go out into all the world. I'm not even asking you to go past Moona. Go out into all the world. Our pastor's doing it. He's literally out there doing the thing. Go out into all the world. And tell people. Dale does it well. Go out into all the world and share the gospel message. And bring people in. Bring people in to hear the gospel message. Amen? Don't wait to be qualified. Don't wait to be qualified, because Jesus doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Let me read this for you. This is from Ephesians. Jesus is the only one who can qualify us. Not RMIT, not Deakin University, not a PhD, not a diploma, not a short course in leadership and ministry. That duck is going to that duck is the devil right now. You might think I'm kidding, right? But here's the thing. This happens every single week in this church. Momentum, momentum, momentum. The Holy Spirit starts ministering. Momentum, momentum. A phone rings. Momentum, 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 the microphone will cut out. Don't let the devil do that in your life, because you'll be going along and you'll be going well and you'll be in church and you'll be saying amen and you'll be turning up and you'll be preaching and praise and worship was great and there was ministry in the Holy Spirit, and you'll go out to the car park and someone will cut you off and you'll think they're an idiot and you'll have that thought and you'll say church is rubbish and you'll say the Christian life isn't worth it. You can't let the duck be the devil. You can't let these things happen. What I'm doing, I'm utilizing a thing that just happened to show you what happens in real life according to this exact message that the Lord gave me to preach to you today. You've got to stop letting the devil get the thin end of the wedge, because he'll keep pushing it in. Toddy, I love you, man. You and I are mates. Someone might come up to Toddy. Toddy, you recently made a decision to follow Jesus, and I think that is the most courageous damn thing ever, man. And someone might come up to Toddy, as they have to me. I'm covered in tattoos. They're covered up today, but I'm covered in tattoos. They're not covered up because I'm being humble or anything like that. They're covered up because I'm darn cold, right? But someone has come up to me, as they might to Todd in church before, and go, oh, I can't believe you're a Christian. And that might be enough to go, well, I'm not going back there.
That's right.
Don't let the devil get the thin end of the wedge.
Yeah.
Don't let that stop you.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't invite people to the church I go to because the preacher's not cool enough. Well, Dave's pretty cool. Don't be mean to him. I wasn't fishing for compliments, but thanks, Sarah. And God, in his sovereignty, could obliterate all of these problems right now, like that, gone. Just like in the book of Job, he could have just let the devil, who said, Job doesn't love you, the devil could have said, devil be gone. He could have just done that, but he didn't. Why? Why? It's not because God can't. It's because if God just went, well, you're in my way, boink, get out of my way, that takes away your opportunity to choose him. That takes away your opportunity. See, the reason that we're living life, the reason God chose people, humanity, is because we have choice. We're not automatons. We must follow Jesus. We're not that. He said, I give you choice to follow me. And hell is eternal separation from that. Hell is leaving that choice completely forever. I feel really sorry for an old guy that I meet with on the walking track every single day. Pray for him every single day. He annoys me every single day. I love him every single day. And I see him on the walking track when I'm walking my dog. And I won't use his name, but he's a big, tall Dutch fella. I say, how you going this morning, Bill? And he will give me a happy thing. And we start, inevitably, every third or fourth interaction, we start talking about faith. And I said, oh, only 31 sleeps till Christmas. Oh, don't give me that nonsense. I don't believe in Christmas. No one's going to put the tree up in my house and tell me anything about Jesus. And he starts getting really angry. And I start loving him on him even more. And he starts getting more angry and more frustrated. But it's not him getting frustrated. It's all the stuff that's on him that's getting frustrated, because he's made in the image of God. He's still a representative of the kingdom, whether he likes it or not. He still has life in his body. He still has the power of the Holy Spirit potential in him. So instead of getting annoyed at him every single time, I say, at least said his name. What did I say his imaginary name was? Bill, Bill, I just love you. I just love you. And it breaks the power. It breaks the power. And even that little thing is enough to take the kingdom out into all the world. Loving the hard to love. So, instead of sharing in your life how much you've worked at your faith, how much good stuff you're doing. Oh, I've been praying. Oh, I've been praising. And I turn up every week. And I'm on every team. And I go to every connect group. And I give my money. And I volunteer and I do that. And instead of saying all the stuff you do to attract your mates to church, just talk about all the stuff that God's doing in your mess. All the stuff he's doing in your mess. I've just taken on here. I'm 14 weeks into a new role as a state sales manager, right? I haven't been a state sales manager for about 3.5 years. Last time I was, I went through complete burnout and a breakdown. And I couldn't do it. And I took low-key jobs and horrible jobs and, you know, jobs that anyone could do. I worked in a coffee shop for a while. I did all these things that were, you know, quote-unquote, beneath what I thought I could do. And every day I turned up and I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. This hurts. This hurts. I'm going to give it all to you. You know, and I got this job 14 weeks ago and I turned up. And it's been a bit of a honeymoon period. And then it got really, really, really stonking hard. I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I give it all to you. You have to run this business for me, Lord God. You've chosen me for such a time as this. You've appointed me to this role. I can't do it right now. I don't have the answers. I'm feeling like I might be teetering on burnout again. Please help me, Lord. I give it to you. I walk into work that morning. You never guess what happened. All of this stuff outside of my control has just gone well. All of it. I had two of my greatest achieving staff members resign, right? I could have taken it personally. They've resigned because I've come along. They have, probably, but who knows? And I advertised for a role in Launceston where we'd normally get no people. And I wrote down all of the character traits that I wanted in a perfect person, and I said, God, you know who they are. Bring them in. Yeah. Bang, her name's Emma. And she's come into the business. And she starts in January. And I can't be happier. Not because I get to give someone a job. That's pretty cool. But because even though she's not a Christian, the Lord sent her. The Lord sent her. Now I get to trust that. Is anyone encouraged by any of this? Yep. You're created in God's image. You reflect his nature. While you might not physically represent God, I look around the room and I don't see much omnipotence. I don't see much omnipresence. I don't see many Jewish men with beards. But you represent God in his character. You're made in his image. What is his image? I'm going to tell you. You have capacity, if you're taking notes, for this. You have capacity for goodness. That alone is something special. You have capacity for love. Not when it's easy, but when it's hard. Not when someone's being nice to you, but when they're nailing you to a cross. Not when somebody's given you something that you want or given you a promotion or a pay rise, but when they're the thief next to you on the cross. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. Mercy. Mercy. We don't see much of this in our modern society. This is the image of God that is you. It's not flesh and bone stuff. It's character. This is the stuff that will attract people. You are an imperfect pathway, but you've got perfection in you. See, in the cracks and all the stuff that's going wrong in your life, all these things I'm talking about now can shine out through the cracks. He's broken, but he showed me mercy. He's having a tough time, but he loved me. He got yelled at by the boss. I saw it, but he showed me compassion. Showed me grace. Showed me generosity. Showed me justice, character. These are the things that will bring people in to the kingdom of God. Not because they're attracted to you, you walking, talking, freckled skin bag full of emotion. No. Because they're attracted to how you behave. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Not do an impersonation of Christ. An imitation. That's, you know what a caricature is? Yeah, like when someone does a drawing that looks a bit like them. And you know what an impersonation is, right? That's when you pretend to be the person. This is different. This is a characterization. This is being like, behaving like, acting like, speaking like, thinking like, thinking like. And that will transform your mind and your heart. And you know, when you transform your mind, you transform your thinking, then you transform your actions. When you transform your actions, you transform your results. When you transform your results, you transform your environment. When you transform your environment, you transform values in a town, in a city, in your workplace. That's how it happens. That's how the growth of the kingdom and the growth of the church happens. Is everyone still with me? Are we going okay? I'm going to talk to you for a moment about Paul and Saul. And everyone's like, oh, I'm going to get comfy. I know this one. I know where he's going. Saul to Paul is going to talk about, yes. I'm going to read from Acts 9, 1 through 9. Meanwhile, Saul, we talked about this over coffee this morning. I'm going to add a bit to this, and I'm going to get you to put it in context. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats. Just think about that for a minute. This is the dude that wrote half the Bible. He's the old you. Was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, that's us, whether men or women, this guy was a piece of work, he might take them prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly, everyone say suddenly. Suddenly, suddenly a light came from heaven and flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked, which I love. There's a whole sermon in just that one line. Who are you, Lord? Because he knew straight away, because of who Saul was and what he believed, he understood God. But still, he understood God, but he was doing all that other stuff. Not because he thought it was wrong, because he thought it was right. So he was just confused in his mind about the direction he needed to take. Sorry, I'm just listening to the Holy Spirit right now. The voice replied, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And he replied, now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what to do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound and didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand to Damascus. For 3 days he was blind. He didn't eat or drink anything. I have a question for you. Think of the worst person in the world that you can possibly think of right now. It might be someone who's been in the news doing bad things. When we were talking over coffee this morning, we named a name, someone who's a murderer. And imagine that person walked into this church right now and you knew who they were. And they said, I know I killed all those people yesterday, but I found Jesus. And now I'm different. Would you believe him? You have to answer it out loud because you might embarrass yourself. Some might. I'd have trouble. I'm going to be the first one to fall on my sword here. I'd be looking at him going, well, I want to see proof. I want to see evidence. Listen to this. Saul, 1 minute, killing people, murdering people, men, women, didn't matter, taken prisoner, off they go. Next minute, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. Can you imagine being one of the disciples? Don't put your wallet down anywhere. Saul's around. Leave your iPhones on lock. Actually, put them in your tunic, guys. Would you trust him? Would you trust him? Would you trust the power of God to transform someone? Do you trust the power of God to transform someone? Good, then go tell everyone. Church over, go. Kind of mucking around? Kind of not. Because if we did, there'd be no empty maroon seats. Let the empty maroon seats tick you off as much as they tick me off. And they do. This church should be 1,500 people 3 times a Sunday. Thank you for being excited about that, Jose. This church should be 1,500 people in here every Sunday, 3 services, 1,500 people. And if it's going to be that way, it's up to us. It's up to us. It's not up to good preaching. It's not up to good music at the front. It's up to every single person here in this room, from the front to the back. It's not up to Pastor Dave and Pastor Alex. It's not up to Leonie. It's not up to the business manager. It's not up to the social media, whether that's any good. It's not up to, see, even our cameras today, even though we're recording, this is going out Tuesday, it's not going out now because something happened in the background, right? And we can't go live this morning. It's not up to whether Facebook Live's working. Who's it up to? Say me. Who's it up to? It's up to? If it's going to be, it's up to? So you've got to see it. You've got to ask God for it. Because you see, in between Saul killing people and then Saul becoming Paul and Ananias went to him and Ananias laid hands on him and scales fell off his eyes and he started to see clearly and then he was baptized and all these wonderful things happened. Who did the work? Was it Saul? Was it Ananias? It was God. So don't worry if you don't have it all together in order to go out and start telling people about Jesus. Don't worry about it. You're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. You'll never be ready. You'll never be equipped enough. You'll never have everything it takes to say everything you need about the God who is everything. Never. So just go with what you have. Go with what you have. When Jesus sent the disciples, he said, don't take money, don't take a sword, don't take anything with you. Just go with what you have. And I will provide the rest. If they don't listen, knock the dirt from your shoes, turn around and go the other way. This is what we must do. Is anyone catching this at all today? Because I want this so much for you in your life. I don't know how I'm going for time. We're going to bring the band back up anyway. Even just keys would be cool. Because the timer wasn't working. And I have no idea what the time is. Cool. What time am I supposed to do? Yeah, who cares? Let's just keep going. Let's just go till the Holy Spirit's done, huh? Is that all right? Here's something we know. We talked already about how we are human beings. We're all human beings. And we live in a broken world. We live in a broken world with a temporary ruler. Right, under temporary authority. But we all know that next year is the year of our Lord, 2024. I want you to write that down if you haven't written it down already, because I'm saying it prophetically over this whole city, over the world right now. The next year is the year of our Lord. It is the year of our Lord. So this temporary ruler who thinks that he has it over us, forget it. Forget it. Don't worry about him. Because in every single human being, there's this pre-written, pre-created thing like an antenna that makes us pick up on that. It's called fear. Fear is a false expectation that appears real. But you need to turn it into facing everything and rise, F-E-A-R. You need to face everything and rise. Rise like a lion. Rise like, I think it was Jessica last week, maybe encouragement. Someone said the lamb was slaughtered, but the lion rose. So let that fear diminish and let the lion within you rise. There are three fears that we all carry. Psychological principle time. There's the fear of not being loved. We all carry this as human beings. There's the fear of not being enough. These are all proven psychological principles. And then there's the fear of not fitting in. And what Jesus did on the cross, put a line through all those three fears. And for years I worked studying psychological principles and understanding human behavior and getting certificates to hang on my wall to prove all of those things, and diploma after diploma. And those three fears were drummed into us in the world that I was in coaching and people development and those things. Grant, you're going to meet people who have the fear of not being loved, fear of not being understood, fear of not fitting in. And Grant, they all boil down to the fear of not being loved. And that's right, for anyone who doesn't know Jesus Christ. And that's why when I say these things in a church, people look at me and say, oh, that doesn't quite fit me because I don't have the fear of not being loved. And if that's the one thing you've got to say to people, I don't have the fear of not being loved like you. I don't have that because I know that I'm loved. I know that I'm loved so much by God that He sent His Son Jesus to die for me. He could have eliminated Satan. He could have cast him out. He could have cancelled him. But He didn't. He actually allowed Satan to kill His own Son on a cross so He could rise like a lion so that you all could come into relationship with God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the miracle of the transformation. Its transformation turns fear into courage, turns fear into compassion, turns fear into love, turns fear into understanding, turns fear into forgiveness. Don't listen to fear, friends. Don't listen to fear. Fear is, I don't want to share the gospel message because someone might reject me. Good. Let them. Let them. Let them. Because the Bible says they will reject you because they've rejected Him first. So they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. He loves you so much. I don't want you to think about what won't happen. And I don't want you to think about what might happen. And I don't want you to make your mind up if you share the gospel on what will happen in someone's life. I've got this Kelpie Labrador at home, Murphy. And he's always just in the moment. He doesn't worry about whether I gave him chicken yesterday or whether I gave him dog food. He's just in the moment. He looks at me. He's like, where are we going today? What are we doing? And I call his name and he wags his tail. Sorry. I just realized I was doing it. I'm just so happy to be here. I call his name and even though he doesn't speak my language, he comes. He's so uncomplicated. So why not, in the weeks and months to come, or the years and decades to come, just do that with people? Be that gap for people. Be that imperfect pathway so that people can go from where they are, lost, to where they need to be, found, through your relationship with your Heavenly Father, where they see you just looking at Him, wagging your tail. I love you, God. You've heard me say it before so many times, and I don't mind saying it again and again and again. Christians should be so happy that they're walking around smiling so much that they need to get a flip-top head. If you remember the old Reach toothbrush advertisement. But even though we're not always, because we live in the world and things do become hard from time to time, be the first one to preach to yourself and remind yourself who your Father is. And then other people will see His light shine through you. The author Marianne Williamson says, there is nothing intelligent or enlightened about shrinking so that others around you seem more significant. It is your light, not your darkness, that sets people free. And through the cracks and brokenness, your light, when it shines onto others, liberates them. And unconsciously, then consciously, gives them permission to shine. It's your light, not the darkness in the world, that matters. I just want to encourage you, church. Even though you, beautiful people, like me, are completely imperfect, I want you to remember that it's okay for you to step out into the world and tell people about how God is still working with your imperfections and will still be working with your imperfections and can work with theirs as well. Let's stand and praise God, and I'll pop back in just a minute. Thanks.